Welcome to Midwest Game Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, John. Here with me today is Alex.
Hello.
And Brian.
Hey.
Today, we're going to talk about Helldivers 2 some more and Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and Remake a little bit. Before we get to all that, you can find all the places you can listen to the show. Check out MidwestGameNerds.com/links. Midwest Podcast Network has a Patreon. Patreon supports all the shows on our network. You can subscribe for as little as $1 a month and help keep our shows alive and well. Check it out at mpn.bz/Patreon. Thanks to JSK, Tom Z, David Owen, Corey Z for the contributions. One of the perks to join the Patreon is to get early access to our bonus episodes that we call Side Quests. Side Quests are where we veer off outside the realm of video games into food, beverages, movies, TV, and more. Join our Patreon to get those episodes a week early. As always, we do appreciate your feedback, which you can send to MidwestGameNerds@gmail.com. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcatcher. We haven't gotten an email in a while, so send us an email.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Or a maybe sign of life. A message in a bottle or something. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Like Sting.
Yeah.
And the Police.
Mm-hmm.
Alex, any bumpers for the network?
Yes, the Horror Movie Yearbook Boys will be talking soon about Road Games, a film from 1981 starring one Stacy Keach and one Jamie Lee Curtis. So please check that out. I believe that was a Tim pick, and it's about a laid-back American truck driver in South Australia that suspects the driver of a green van is killing young women along his route and plays a game of cat and mouse to catch him. Sounds thrilling. Hmm. I love Stacy Keach.
I love Jamie Lee Curtis. I didn't know he did anything other than the Titus TV show.
he's done a lot of stuff.
No, I'm just being a dumbass.
Yeah, no. Stacy Keach.
It'd be cool if they remade that in the Mad Max universe.
I mean, who knows? This one might be... Maybe this is the inciting incident. Right? Because doesn't Max's, like, family die or something? I don't know.
Yeah,
I
knew that a long time ago. I vaguely recall that from,
A group of young thieves take his son away from him.
Hmm. Okay.
And he's like, get me back my son. That's actually the movie Ransom, also starring Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
I feel like that's also the plot of The Patriot, but I don't know. Anyway.
Pretty much, yeah. But he's like, give me back my son.
No, I think you're thinking of Braveheart.
Well, I love y'all. He wants his freedom.
Freedom! Give me back my freedom! Except he sounds like
now he's Schwarzenegger.
What the hell? Give me my freedom. Oh, give me anyway. Back my freedom and my son all at the same time. Dominic, get down from there.
If you would like better movie discourse than this, please check out the Horror Movie Yearbook podcast at horrormovieyearbook.com.
You know, I bet we would have more listeners if we did this more often, specifically.
Maybe, but...
We blend movies together. It's just Arnold voiceover on like multiple movies. But we could do that with AI now. We could just have Arnold recite dialogue from any movie we want.
It's not as much fun that way.
The internet doesn't actually need us.
I'm measured in attention spans in nanoseconds.
Trying to think of a Dune 2 line.
Pac-Man video games.
But I don't feel like I can do my Arnold without starting with a line from Arnold's Pizza Shop, you know?
Yeah, pepperoni and bullets.
Name, phone number, serial number, large sandworm named Shai Halud.
Get your ass to Mars. Get yourself some spice.
Oh, boy. Anyway, let's do this. What are you playing on your Xbox or on your PlayStation or on your Nintendo Switch? What you been playing?
What about PC? I just realized you don't have PC in there. So, yeah, like, I guess you don't care what I've been playing because that's all I do is play PC games.
How are you doing on your spreadsheets? That's what it really is.
Or wait, there's PC in there and I just missed it.
I don't know, let's play it again. What are you playing on your Xbox or on your PlayStation or on your Nintendo Switch? What you been playing?
Yeah, no, he's definitely just not in there. I think you need to go back to the drawing board.
Completely there. Left out a whole community of gamers.
We're the soundboard, Brian, actually.
Brian, if you want to sing karaoke to a YouTube karaoke song with whatever you want in it, I'll make it the theme. So please, just send something, and it'll be on there. It'll be the next one.
It's going to be what you've been playing to the tune of what you want by the Beastie Boys. But Brian's going to sing it, so it's going to sound like the Bees Boys.
There's going to be a Marvel snap that ass up. Was that going to be the?
Yeah, that was.
Yeah,
that was going to be the segment about Marvel snap.
Yeah,
the segment where I just sit in silence for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Much like the Final Fantasy one later, except I'm just going to leave. I'm going
to
leave.
Nothing to do with Marvel Snap.
That's fine.
We'll talk about Helldivers first, and then you can leave and finish your beer and get your midnight snack and change your diaper and soak your dentures and whatever else you do.
I don't soak my dentures.
How was Helldivers 2 with people?
More enjoyable. I mean, it's been enjoyable every time I played it, other than waiting to play it, which you don't have to do anymore.
We didn't really have to wait.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just saying the first time I had to wait a little bit, and then the second time I had the black screen bug, but then I fixed it.
But we played with cross play between PC and PlayStation.
It worked great. It was fun.
It worked awesome.
I want to do it again.
The Discord integration on PlayStation works really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I am honestly blown away by how fast I was able to join the game. Like, just in general, from turning on my system to joining the game was maybe 30 seconds and being in the game.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that, like, I think for a while when there were server connection issues, people were jumping that by joining friends. You could join a friend easier than you could start the game up first, you know?
That's cool.
I think that was, but, you know, I'm glad a lot of that login stuff has been sorted out at this point. But no, that game's just still a shitload of fun. Like, I'm really curious to see. There's been a lot of stories coming out a little bit about how they have, like, a appointed game master of the Galactic War Board, basically, who will be shaping the narrative of how the live game proceeds and how planets fall and things like that. It seems like they're trying to, you know, right now the map feels like there's edges of the map that are being attacked by enemies. And I guess I haven't logged in over a week at this point, so it's kind of hard to say if things have changed too much since like a weekly reset or anything like that. But, you know, the automatons and the terminids were encroaching on edges of the map, and I know there's a third faction that I think is like sea based of some kind, that's supposed to be coming up as well. So it's going to be kind of cool to see how they start to, you know, direct people to certain planets and things like that. Like, I think they started a major order that was to take over a certain planet or defend a certain planet, and everybody started playing there, so that's kind of fun to like make sure people are contributing to the singular cause of the war. But
they need like an app or something that like sends you a notification, like calling you up to, you know, like from the reserves, basically, like it's we need you in the fight, and it like
draft.
Sends you this thing. And it like you get like an XP boost or something like that to like jump in or whatever, you know, things like that. Like, I would totally buy into that, you know, have like a galactic map that shows you the progress of each segment of the galaxy and everything, like some form of map of like phone integration would be really cool. And if they can somehow integrate that into also like stratagems of some sort that you can call in from your phone or whatever, would be really sweet too. Some phone usage. The idea, similar to how I think the original plan for the Division was to be able to use, like, so a player could join with their phone to do things with the players who were on systems playing. Like, they were able to join up and be, like, support teams of some sort.
Yeah.
And that would just be super epic to have that sort of thing happen.
I remember there being some level of that in Mass Effect 3, actually, where you could basically, like, log into an app each day to try and help. And it actually, like, made some small amount of difference in, like, your stats on the game somehow, but that would be kind of cool to have some other way to kind of support. But, yeah, I mean, I want to play more. Problem is, I also want to play Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I don't.
That's good.
Not yet. Not until it's all out.
What is the next thing that you're excited to play, I guess? I don't remember your list.
The Dark Forces Remastered came out last week. I have a bunch of things to go
back to. Yeah, but I'm not in a hurry to play that. I'll wait till it goes on sale. I have a lot of things I want to go back to. I want to, like, finish Baldur's Gate 3. And, what else was there?
Sex with the Devil.
I realized I never even finished the Diablo 4 campaign. I was like, oh, okay. I should do that as well. The Cyberpunk expansion's pretty fun. I want to play more of that. System Shock. I'm going to play more of that. So, yeah, I just haven't been excited to pick up a new game because it's just more things that I won't finish. I'm excited to play more of the Quarry because I played more again recently with Erica, and it's getting interesting slowly. Nice. I'm very curious to see where that goes. It's a bit more involved, I feel, than what I got used to playing, like, the anthology.
Dark Pictures.
Yeah, Dark Pictures anthology games. There's definitely, like, a lot more things to collect and stuff and explore. And I also like a lot that they changed how you interact with the QuickTime events. It's just way more intuitive for me even, but also people that don't play games all the time, I feel.
What did they do?
Instead of using the face buttons to get the QuickTime event, you basically, like, time pressing a certain direction on the stick, on, like, the left or right stick. But it kind of, like, gives you, like, a circle that's, like, closing into, like, a graphic of the left or right.
Yeah, like the timer. It's like a timer.
Yeah, and it'll show the arrow, like, which direction you're supposed to press. So it's way more intuitive, I feel. Because even myself, after playing PlayStation for years, in a panic, I can't remember which button's which. But this is a much easier for me, for my brain to understand.
I have never been affected with that issue. And maybe I just don't play enough Xbox for it to matter, but I also play Switch, where they literally, like, that literally has different A, B, X, and Y than the Xbox does. Yeah, like, they actually switch the position of the A and B.
I've always had that problem. It doesn't even, if I were playing this game on Xbox, it'd be the same thing. PlayStation's a little worse for me, but I don't know. I just don't have that ingrained in my mind. Like, if you want me to hit, like, the WASD keys or basically anything on a keyboard in a panic, I can probably do it. But I've also been typing for longer than I've been using those controllers. So, you know, back when there were typewriters.
Before they invented the letter X, right?
That's what my typing class learned on, was actual typewriters.
Like a cuneiform class with, like, a clay tablet.
I mean, that was beforehand, of course. You got to start with the basics, right? Work your way up to the abacus and other things for math class and whatnot. I guess the next thing I'm excited for in the near future is not a story-based game. It's just that Tribes 3 is going into early access in, like, a week or so.
Are you? So is that Is that the next thing you're going to spend money on, I guess, is my question.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
But I don't think it'll cost too much.
Yeah. Well, my multiplayer game is spoken for with Helldivers.
I just want to play more Helldivers. I want to play more Helldivers, but the problem with Helldivers is I want to play it with other people. And I feel like everybody that I know that plays Helldivers can't play games till I'm basically done playing games for the evening. Because I want to not play games right before bed. I want to disassociate from that and like actually sleep well.
See, that's the thing, is it puts me to sleep. It's like the most relaxed I get all day is when I
as a sleep aid.
Yeah, no, seriously,
to be
like
watching TV or something.
I'll start playing any game and just like start nodding off immediately because it's the most relaxed I've been all day.
Awesome.
Like, no, it
sucks.
So
you're a hell crasher.
I am. It's true. it sucks because I want to play games more. And like, literally every time I sit down on the couch, I'll sit down, I'll turn on the PlayStation, you know, and like by the time the system loads, I can already feel my eyelids getting heavy. And then like whatever game I join into, I get 5-10 minutes into it and I'm just like, nope, I just gotta turn this off.
Yeah,
that's why it takes me so long now to beat anything. I mean, I feel like I'm finally like somewhere in Final Fantasy VII Remake. Like, I think I'm at the end of it, basically. I have to storm the Shinra Tower is where I'm at, so to go get Aerith. I don't know, is there more after that? It's only like 20-30 hours long, right? And I've got 20 hours in the bag, like, at this point.
You guys
like
could talk about this later.
Yeah.
What else have you been playing?
Okay, bye, Brian.
That's it. That's all I've been playing.
Yeah. I mean,
that
I've
Helldivers.
Been playing
and Final Fantasy Rebirth. I was going to say something. There's something else about Helldivers I was going to say, too, drawing a complete blank. I had something else I wanted, like, that I read about the game that I wanted to, like, bring up.
I did read that their sales are still going up.
Yeah, that was one thing.
Which is good. Good
which
for them.
Which is unheard of.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't happen. Which is exciting, because, again, they're not that big of a dev, right? Like, they're a small team.
It's like 100 people. So it's pretty...
And wasn't it like, it was like 4 people who optimized the code for the server load or something like that too?
Yeah, I don't...
Over the course of a weekend, and which is also unheard of. Like, there were people online just like applaud these 4 devs who just fucking dominated this and fixed it over a weekend. Like,
there's a Forbes article saying it's only lost 4% of its players in 2 weeks.
That's impressive. Crazy.
Pretty fucking remarkable. But yeah, no, it's great. I'm glad to see something like this have success. Like, it's been interesting because I feel like in a lot of the podcasts that I listen to, and just in general, it feels like live service games generally get a bad rap. We just had like Suicide Squad, which is a live service game, come out and completely flop, you know, like,
yeah.
Sony telling, or Naughty Dog canceling their Last of Us live service because they were like, we don't want to be a live service studio, and that's what we would have to be if we were going to do that. Like, it feels like everybody wants to be Fortnite, but everybody's realizing right now that they're not all going to be Fortnite.
Right.
And so
it's not
to have
easy.
Something, yeah, to have something like Helldivers come out and have some level of success when going up against things like Fortnite and Apex, that feels like quite the accomplishment to be able to break through that, especially as a team of 100 people, or however many people worked on Helldivers 2. I think that's really quitty, really pretty, like, incredible that they've been able to achieve that. So, but yeah, no, I would like to play more Helldivers. And that's the thing. Like, none of it's about story. It's just fucking shooting bugs and robots. You know, throwing bombs.
Because I just re-listened to our last episode, and, like, Brian, you were talking about how you're kind of happy that you don't feel like you have to play it all the time.
Yeah, definitely.
And like, I feel the same way. Like it feels good to not have to like Destiny. I felt like when we were playing Destiny at its peak, it was like, gotta play every day.
Gotta log in and get your dailies.
You feel like you're missing something if you don't like check all the boxes for the week or even the day if you're really deep into it.
And I think Helldivers could have not dailies necessarily, but like,
I mean, it does have like goals and.
Yeah, but it's like there's only like one or two, and like it's like kill 100 Terminid on this planet or something like that kind of shit. But there's not very many of them. I think it could do more with that, but not make it something where people feel like they have to do it. You know, like it should just be like some kind of bragging right sort of thing, as opposed to like I got to do it to grind to get the credits to get through the season pass kind of shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not a knock on the game for not having something like that necessarily, but I just feel like it could have some kind of bounty-ish system more so, you know, I don't know.
I think there's room for that type of thing to happen. Like right now they just have like minor orders, and the major orders are things that are like more collective players need to achieve, and the minor order is like, hey, use the sniper rifle 60 times to kill somebody.
Right.
And that seems fine, but I feel like, I don't know. I think the interesting thing to me is that it doesn't necessarily feel that there's like this gear score that I'm always trying to contribute to, and I like that because it's not like... I feel like that's a really weird way in which Destiny was like, you need to keep up with the curve, otherwise you can't play with your friends anymore because they want to be playing things that are at a higher gear score than what you're at.
Right.
And maybe eventually they figured out game modes that would allow you to not worry about that, whether it's like, you know, we're just going to all go play some Crucible or something. But that's not that much fun by itself, you know? Like, doing that cool high-level story stuff was what was a lot of fun, for me at least, most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that, like, Helldivers doesn't really have a way to fully segregate people away from each other from being able to play together if you're not playing every day.
Yeah, you also like, don't feel like great. You're missing out on a story either, because it doesn't really have one.
No, and that's fine. Like, honestly, even just trying to keep up with the meta story of, like, where's the planet at? Like, that's where I would appreciate having an app or whatever, right, John? Where I can kind of check in and see the status of things and... you know, try to understand at least where that stuff is at. But I think it feels nice that I don't need to make sure that I'm playing it every day. And I feel more compelled to be like, hey, I'll drop into Helldivers for a night, rather than being like, I need to just only play Destiny for 4 weeks in order to catch up and get my gear score.
Right.
I think that's great. So... it's just more of what I'm looking for in a live service game at this point in my life. Granted, I feel like a couple weeks from now, people might burn out and be like, oh, I've gotten all the upgrades. Where's more upgrades?
For sure.
You know, I'm never going to be one of those people. So we'll have to see if that backlash if that ends up happening. What were you going to say, John?
I remembered one of the things I wanted to bring up was the fact that I read that as missions take longer, they start throwing more enemies at you.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah. It certainly felt that way too. Like there was,
we were dragging our feet doing all this other bullshit, and it just felt like it kept getting harder. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, and then we finally got to the point where like, fuck it, let's just get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I dig that. I think that's cool. Like that's a good element. I think there should be instances where like, you're forced to lose in a way. It makes it feel more like a war in a way, you know? And that's kind of cool. Like, not that war is cool or anything.
And it just gives you that risk reward of like, I can stay around and get more experience points and everything, but I'm endangering my ability to get the fuck out, you know?
Right.
Which kind of just makes like your drop location and the order that you're doing things might be a little more like you can actually strategize that a little bit. So that's kind of cool.
Right. But yeah.
Helldivers 2.
If you haven't gotten it yet, you fucking should.
Hell of a game.
I think Green Man still has it on sale. If you use Green Man on your PC.
Yeah, apparently Fanatical has like 17% off using code Fanatical17. So $33.19, you can get it.
Okay, it's not on sale on Green Man, but regardless, it's $40 and it's worth every penny. Considering I've probably spent about $300 on Destiny.
$40 is a steal.
It's absolutely a steal. So,
I think they scratch different itches, but they're adjacent itches.
Yeah. I do kind of wish it had a like just a full first person mode, but the third person's kind of nice to see, to be able to see what's going on around you a little more.
Yeah, I feel like I would be hit by so many fucking stratagems if I didn't
like, yeah, if you weren't more aware
the peripheral of where they were coming in, I would just probably back my way into getting exploded.
Maybe if it had like a HUD or something that like showed you, like gave a directional cue of like a stratagem, you know how like there's grenade cues when there's a grenade nearby you in other games, like that sort of thing, but it's like a stratagem signal of some sort.
Part of the fun, getting killed by your teammates' stratagems.
Unintentionally.
It's watching your something... whole team just explode in front of you. And
it's definitely something that they like implemented on purpose. Like they wanted you to be able to do that because it adds to the humor of the whole experience, you know? Like it's clearly what they wanted out of the game.
The humor and the tension and the chaos. It's very good.
It's funny to be you're just in the thick of the shit, right? And then you chuck a stratagem, not really paying attention, and realize it just landed on top of somebody else, and
everybody get the fuck out of here, and then it just explodes and everybody dies.
I got crushed by my own machine gun pod last time.
The shit's just so funny.
I feel like the one that causes me the most trouble is the minefield.
Oh, yeah. Because
it's always just
dangerous.
The spray of the mines that come out of it are always just way bigger than you think it's going to be.
It does have quite the range.
It's like you don't want to just throw it and then just hang out from that distance. You want to throw it and then run away the opposite distance and then start engaging targets.
But even like when Alan and I were both throwing them out there, and I feel like we boxed each other, we boxed ourselves in a little bit.
We could have communicated that whole defensive perimeter plan a little better.
We had great coverage of at least one quarter of the places that people could have been coming from. So, you know, but no, it's great. I want to play more.
Yeah.
Shout.
Right. I think Nick did pick it up, so we now have another.
He?
Yeah.
Good, good.
And then his brother-in-law picked it up as well, so.
Hell yeah.
Whole group of people.
Right on. Let's, Brian, I don't know if you want to stick around for Final Fantasy or not. It's up to you.
No. Nah.
Okay. Please, no.
That's all I've got for this week, I guess.
All right, well,
bye then.
We'll say goodbye to Brian. Alex and I are going to turn into otaku.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of anime weebs.
Have fun. Bye.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
All right. Yeah.
So
how much more of the game do I have?
You have yet to storm Shinra Tower?
I was just given the task of wasting a ton of time by helping people in the slums.
Okay. So you're like chapter 15, I think.
Yeah.
And there are 18 chapters.
And I'll be honest with you, I have zero desire to help anyone in the slums.
Yeah, I mean, that's mostly optional stuff.
Because it's like a bunch of fetch quest kind of crap. And on top of that, like the markers that show you where to go or what to do are not good. Like, you literally have to go look around and dig and find, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's
It feels like it was stuffed in the game to just draw out more, like, just to be like, we gave you all this content. Like, if you don't choose to do it, that's your fault. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. There's certainly a lot of that game that feels like they were like, we know we're only remaking 5 hours of the original game, so we need to give you a little bit more to chew on.
So we're going to turn 5 hours into 30.
Yes, exactly. That is certainly an issue with that game.
It feels that way.
A lot of that stuff, but I was just drinking in the. I'm playing Final Fantasy VII again, and I feel like that. I also did not have a child at the time, so, and it was like 2020, so it was like, what else? What the fuck else is I gonna do?
Yeah, I guess my only other gripe, and I don't remember if I talked about this last time or not, and I probably did, but it just the fighting system feels very much like I'm just pressing buttons. Like, I don't feel like there's a ton of purpose to it or strategy. It doesn't feel that way, at least. I do get, like, I did the summon fights to get the other two materia from, what's his name? The little kid. Yeah, Chadley. And, like, doing those was a little bit better because I did find myself having to switch between characters more. But it's still just like, I don't know. It makes me kind of miss like the old active time battle system, because it was kind of nice to like take a minute and like choose your strategy and go, instead of like always having to be hitting to like build up stagger, and then you stagger them and then you can get critical hits in or whatever. Like, it just, I don't know. I feel like I'm just sitting there button mashing the whole time.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I feel like I had a lot of fun switching to Tifa to get the stagger up, because a lot of her attacking, in that game at least, was some of the fastest way to get people to stagger. And then, you know, I've always been a fan of like using Assess on everybody to understand what weaknesses are, and then using the elemental weaknesses or whatever to try and get them down quicker. So I feel like I had a lot of fun switching back and forth between everybody in that game, just because it just kept things kind of fresh, even in some of the more perfunctory battles that were around. But
Barrett's easily the least fun to play.
Sure, but he's also super helpful when there's like shit in the air that you just can't hit, you know? Yeah. Like some of the flying enemies, it's like when you're down there as Cloud, how much can he really end up doing?
Right.
So then if you switch to Barrett, you can take him down relatively quickly. So it's kind of an interesting push and pull that they have with some of the battles. And, you know,
I think it was Final Fantasy XII. You could map out the actions of your support characters better. And I wish there was more of that, like where I could like set up certain lines of commands for them to follow. Like when entering battle, do this. And like, yeah. When another character's life reaches X amount, cast heal or throw a potion. You know what I mean? Like, being able to program them would make things a little more interesting, I think, because then you can kind of set up your team to support you, which is what they're there for, if you don't want to play, like, having to switch characters all the time. But I understand that, like, changing the character also changes the focus of whatever enemy you're fighting. So, like, if you're Cloud and you're up close and personal and you're doing a bunch of, like, abilities and Braver and Triple Slash and Cross Slash or whatever, all them things, and Cloud's getting his ass handed to him on top of that, then you switch to Tifa or Barrett and the attention changes to Tifa or Barrett and takes it off of Cloud and gives Cloud a chance to, like, heal himself if he wants to, or maybe he will go and just attack things.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I feel like it's hard in Remake because you have to, I feel like the amount of times that the AI builds up enough ATB to get enough to like fire off an ability is lower than it should be.
Yeah, because it feels like it takes you forever.
Well, it feels like it takes you forever, and then they also never get, like, they by themselves, like, you have to switch to them to do actions to build up the ATB to be able to spend the points, right?
Right.
And so, I don't know how much that's changed in Rebirth, but what I will say is that they now have made materia that let you, I think there were a couple of these in Remake, but in Rebirth, there's now materia that get you can link autocast to a green materia so that you can make it so that one of your support characters will always autocast cure when necessary, or autocast thunder or fire or any of the green materia. So that's cool. There's also auto ability, so they can just use those abilities that you get from switching their weapons out and having them learn those abilities.
Right.
So, or their unique abilities as well, like Barret's Overdrive or Tifa's Unbridled Fury and stuff like that. So I think they have put a little bit more thought into making, you can maybe set people up to be more automatic than you used to be able to in Remake in this new one. So that's fun at least, but it doesn't really help you where you're at the moment.
Did you play 12?
I never did. I want to. I have a PS4 copy of it sitting right next to me.
I think you totally should. I'm pretty sure 12 is the one I'm thinking of. I think there were parts of it.
The Gambit system is what...
Yeah.
It started in 12, and then I think 13 used the, what the hell did they call it? I think most people liked it more. Battle system, active time, battle, paradigms and paradigm shifts. So yeah, it went from Gambits to Paradigms, and I feel like they didn't really try to do any of that for Remake, but I feel like Rebirth, they're starting to figure that out with Materia.
Yeah.
A little bit. So you'll be able to literally program how you want people, if you want them to be, like, you could set how aggressive you wanted people to be, or if you wanted them to be support and cast support magic or things like that in those games, and I feel like this is maybe starting to get there, but...
Okay.
I'm curious to see how it develops because I'm only a few hours in. But
yeah, I remember 12's battle system being really cool and like working really well. On top of the fact that 12, I think, was just a beautiful game at the time when it came out, and because of the fact that it took place in Ivalice, which is one of the only times Final Fantasy ever referred to a previous game's like universe.
Yeah,
like because Ivalice was from the Tactics series.
Yep.
And they brought it into the regular series for you to play, and it was just cool. It was very well done and again like beautiful, because I can't remember the exact character artist of that segment of Final Fantasy lore, but the character artist has a really cool style. It's the same dude who did, or chick, I'm not sure, who did Vagrant Story and the Tactics games and a few other games and that Squaresoft has done too. But
Akihito Yoshida.
Yeah. Like that style is just so good. It's like a different super deformed in a way. Like I can't it's not like chibi style super deformed where they've got big heads, but it's almost like the opposite. They have much smaller heads, like way more feminine look, but like very sleek.
Yeah.
And like the watercolor painting style of all of it was always really cool to me.
Yeah.
But that's besides the point. Other than that, I have like 3 chapters left in Remake. I'm excited to get to the end of it. Just because I'm excited to start playing Rebirth because of how big of a reception it's had. And from everything I have heard, it improves upon Remake in so many different ways that I'm intrigued to finish Remake for the sole purpose of getting to Rebirth to play more of it.
Yeah. So here's what I'll say. You have like 3 or 4 chapters left. I think they are generally on the longer side. Like these last few chapters, a few of them are a little bit longer, and
it did feel like I was spitting through a few pretty quickly before. Yes. So
I think be prepared for that.
Okay.
But I think it's worth it, and I'm interested to see what your reaction to the end is. Still, there's kind of two major things, two ways about how that game ends that you will have some form of reaction to, and I'm curious what your thoughts are. Okay. That being said, I started Rebirth. As I said, I'm about 6 to 8 hours in. The game starts in a very weird way. there's something that refers to something that happens at the end of Remake that I still just don't understand how this is going to happen or work. And I don't get it. And I hope that it is commented on more in this game and that it's not just something that they're peppering throughout this series of like Remake games.
Some weird fan service kind of thing.
You're hoping
it's not just some weird fan service. Like, you want more out of it?
No, I don't know. I just want to comprehend what they're doing. And I can't talk about it at all without spoiling certain things. But
I did mean to ask, do I need to play Intergrade? Like, how important is it for me to like do the Yuffie expansion?
It's hard for me to know story-wise what you'll really be missing. I've heard there's a couple things, but I think... So here's what I will recommend. I think you need to start it to get a save, because I think you get an extra summon materia if you have a save from Intermission.
Okay. Is it Intermission?
Intermission is the name of the DLC. Intergrade is the name, I think, of the whole package of...
Okay.
That's like the Game of the Year version.
I only have the PSN version, so...
Okay. You might not... I don't think you can do the upgrade with... I don't know.
No, I have to buy the whole thing. I would have to purchase Intergrade on PlayStation.
Let me see. I think you will only miss... I think there's just one summon. I think you won't be able to get... Yeah, you won't be able to get Ramu, which, who cares about Ramu? But
yeah, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. You do get a Leviathan. You do get Leviathan if you have a Remake save. But I don't know if that's true for PS4 saves.
If I buy Intergrade, does my save file like transfer over?
Yes. You have to upload it in the PS4 version of the game, and then you can download it in the PS5 version of the game.
Okay. Because I can buy a copy of Intergrade for $40.
I don't know if that's worth it or not, but it's up to you. I don't have a disc copy of the five version of the game. I bought the digital upgrade, unfortunately. Otherwise, I would let you borrow it. But
yeah.
Yeah. All
right. Well, whatever. So, besides the point.
I think story-wise, the implications are pretty short. It wouldn't hurt you to try and find... I'm sure somebody's done a recap of Intergrade.
Yeah, I'd probably just end up pulling up some YouTube video.
I think that would be worth watching. But I don't think it's super integral at the moment. No, Rebirth is really cool. I've basically, like, the game chapter one is, like, Nibelheim flashback, which is the demo that you can play.
Okay.
And you can skip over that section if you've completed that part of the demo. And then chapter two opens up with the crew in Calm and leaving Calm. And when you exit the city of Calm, there's just a pretty sizable open world section where they do have activities to do that are not story related, and I have not touched the story again yet. So I just last night completed all of the activities you can do in that section, and it's not like you need to come back in hour 37 to be able to come back and finish this part of whatever you're doing. It's all stuff that you can complete in that area, and the cool thing about it is that, like, there's different types of activities that they have set up. Like, there's some combat challenges, which are fine. And, you know, they give you some objectives to hit with that. And those will unlock more Chadley simulators things where you'll get free materia.
Okay.
From doing that. So that's kind of nice. And then there's also one where you're, like, scanning these stone type things. And when you find each of them, it weakens whatever summon Chadley has currently figured out for the region that you're in. So I think you get like a new summon in each of these like open world regions.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can make that fight easier for yourself if you go and find all of these other things. Otherwise, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. You can just go and fight the summon at full strength and hopefully you win and you can still use it. But it's kind of fun that you can like chip away at its strength by doing another activity. And then there's like one set of activities that has its own kind of storyline that's kind of okay to play through. It was all right. I assume it's going to build to something more, but like, I feel like the activities that they're having me doing are not essential, but I'm still having fun doing them, which is nice. The other thing that I was doing is they have a new card game called Queen's Blood, which is a lot of fun. You know, I think a lot of people are likening it to, what's the Witcher one?
Gwent.
Gwent. They're likening it to Gwent, which is offensive to me because Gwent is probably only exists due to Triple Triad, is my opinion. But Queen's Blood is great because it's basically you are getting cards, and these cards basically like have point values in them, and they will add like basically summoning pips to the adjacent squares and certain patterns that are on the card. And then when you place another card down, you add to the point total in that row. You're just trying to beat your enemy's point total on three different rows. And it's a lot of fun. It's just, it very much reminds me of Triple Triad in a way. And it felt very addictive to play. Like I was at one point waiting to, I had to swap cars with Nicole at one point last week, and she had a meeting going on or something, so I just pulled up to the Starbucks near her work, and then I pulled out my phone to remote play so I could just play Queen's Blood real quick while I was... So it's good enough that I was like, I should dip in and play some Queen's Blood. But no, I mean, I'm really only scratching the surface so far, but it does feel like the game has seen small quality of life improvements here and there. One of the other things I was going to say about the battling. So something that's fun is that you have a whole party of people with you. Like you start this game with obviously Cloud, Tifa, Aerith, and then there's also Barret and Red 13. It's still only a 3-person party, but when you're battling, the people who are not in your team are still like standing at the edge of your fighting area. So, like, right now, I think I've mostly been playing with Aerith and Red 13. So, Barret will be, like, on the sideline firing sometimes and, like, hitting the enemies. And it's not doing, like, a ton of damage or anything, but he's still, like, part of the fight.
He's still helping out, yeah.
Yeah. So, it's kind of fun that way. And I do think they do work in, like, you might be able to get some abilities to those people who are fighting in that back line that will be able to assist as well.
Yeah, that's
cool.
At
some point in the game. So, that's kind of fun. And then the other thing I wanted to note is that, so there is a sphere grid in this game. I think you've probably seen in, you know, when you go into your weapon upgrades, right? It's kind of sphere grid like.
Yeah.
So they've taken all of that out and given them to the characters. They each have their own sphere grid kind of thing where you can use your SP to do those upgrades.
Instead of the weapons itself.
Instead of having it on the weapons, right?
That's nice.
And so, there's like new abilities to unlock in there, and some of the abilities are actually like elemental based attacks that don't require MP. So even if you don't have like fire equipped on a character, but you need to use fire on these enemies, you'll at least have some type of fire elemental attack to do on them that will help you get them pressured or staggered or however that might work for that particular enemy. So that's cool. Really cool. And then they've put a lot of emphasis on these synergy abilities that I'm still trying to get the hang of, where like you can team up with your other, like if depending on the team of three that you have set up, like one right now I have one ability that doesn't use any ATB, where literally Barret will shoot at Cloud's sword and deflect all of the bullet. He'll deflect the bullets towards the enemies. So it's kind of like a scatter shot towards the different enemies that you're fighting. And it's just kind of a cool way to help you like strategize putting different characters together in your battle team to try and like freshen up the fight experience a bit.
That's cool.
So
I wonder if like the ones on the outskirts of the battle arena, like if you have Aerith out there, like maybe she heals you or something when like you're really low.
Yeah, I think that's certain. Like the one that I feel like I did do had like, because it was Barrett was able to shoot a shot into like an actual, like something that did real damage instead of like the little bit of damage that he does normally.
Yeah. His like charge shot or something like
that. Yeah, it was like a charge shot or something like that. So I think it will be something like that. But yeah, I haven't had Aerith out there and I haven't been paying as much attention to that. I haven't had to, because they've been pretty simple battles so far.
I just like, but I'm curious like how these games are doing with people who didn't necessarily have like any reference to the previous game. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like,
yeah,
you know, because I mean you and Webby did a spoiler cast about it.
And Gojo.
And Gojo in the first game. And I actually, I do plan on listening to that as soon as I actually wrap up the game. But, yeah, like, I haven't heard anybody who has no reference of the original talk about their feelings about these games. Like, and I would be interesting to hear from anybody listening who never played the original Final Fantasy VII, has no reference to it at all. Like, what are your thoughts and feelings about this game? And, like, if you're even playing it, or if you even have any interest to play it, like, I don't know. Like, maybe some of the accolades that Rebirth is getting is inspiring you to want to play it. Like, I'd like to hear from people about how they feel about this game. Because I feel like the only people I know talking about it have played the original to some capacity. And this is more or less a ridiculous nostalgic hit. It's like having a bong packed tight with nostalgia and you're just doing rips and like it. And cause it, that's the way it feels when I'm playing it. Like I just feel, I'm seeing the characters and like, I still have issues with Barrett's voice actor. Like he's so over the top in not a great way, because all of the other characters are played perfectly. Like even Aerith, like, whoever her voice actor is phenomenal. And, and she, when I was playing the other night, it was when Aerith is like following you around the slums and stuff. And like, you know, we break out of that or whatever. And I don't remember when it was, but it's when you pick back up with her after you drop her off at home and leave her. And then she basically follows you to the exit of the slums. And Megan was like, God, I have to listen to her talk again. Like, can you just leave her behind? Because like she just babbles the whole time you're like hanging out with her. And I'm like, it's so cute though. Like, this is like, like, it made me feel like the original game in a different way. And
she
always was
pestering Cloud because Cloud didn't want to talk, really. Yeah. Right? It kind of felt.
And now you have Cloud, who has a voice actor who talks quite a bit.
Yeah,
which is great, and his voice actor's awesome. And even Tifa is like really like, it hits every nostalgic note you want it to hit in every way, shape and form. And it's so good. And, I would like to know how other people who don't have the nostalgic feeling, like, what do they feel about this game?
Really? The only reference that I have to that is, Janet Garcia, who has been doing a lot of Kind of Funny game stuff, and I think Min-Max is kind of the two places that she's been popping up a lot. She has been working with the Remap crew on their podcast recently. The interesting thing is that she picked up Kingdom Hearts games not as they came out, like just a couple of years ago. She's probably younger than I am, I think.
Okay.
And so she played some of the Kingdom Hearts games around when Kingdom Hearts 3 came out. And that was one of her first, like, Square Enix experiences, honestly. And so I think there are people that maybe came in with Kingdom Hearts or, like, Final Fantasy 15 and some of these more action-oriented RPGs from Square Enix that are able to buy into Final Fantasy 7 a little bit more because it's no longer turn-based. I think there are some people having that experience. The other thing is that Final Fantasy VII is so massive that it's hard not to have some sort of touchstone on it if you're into video games in some form or way. you kind of know who Cloud is. You might know some of the spoilers that have been talked about on the internet for a really long time.
Well, and
that's like
the thing is you've got people like, I've got kids at work. I say kids because they are, but they, they've played Kingdom Hearts and they love Kingdom Hearts. And they're like, do you like Final Fantasy VII? I'm like, fuck yeah. It's one of my favorite games. I still have the t-shirt from when I reserved the game in my basement. It's worth like $400 on eBay right now. Like, you know, that kind of shit. And like, they're like, well, how do you feel about the new ones? And I'm like, I'm in the middle of playing Remake right now, and I'll let you know. But they're like intrigued to like know what it's like and if it's worth playing. And my understanding is that the battle system is similar to Kingdom Hearts in some respects because it's kind of button mashy.
Like, it's more actiony, yeah.
So
for sure, I feel like Kingdom Hearts was the beginning of this battle system, and it is more fully matured now that it has come out of, like, they tried to use it in Final Fantasy 13. They tried to use it in, they used it, I think, very successfully in Final Fantasy 15. But having this more action-based, non-turn-based RPG,
yeah,
I feel like Final Fantasy 7 is one of the best, most realized versions of that out of them.
I also think it's funny to have these kids who, like, they know Cloud and they know Sephiroth, but they know nothing about them.
Yeah, they only know it from Kingdom Hearts, yeah, where it's just, literally just surface-level bullshit.
You show them Cloud, and they're like, oh, that's Cloud. That's Cloud Strife. And you're like, how the fuck do you even know that? Like, this game was made before you were born. Like,
or they're playing him in Smash Brothers.
Yeah. Well, I have my two. You can probably see them up here. Yep. I have Cloud and Sephiroth up there on the shelf.
Mine are over there somewhere, I think. I have your copy of Final Fantasy Rebirth right there, but
yeah, I need to pick that up still. But
I think there are people that are appreciating it that didn't have, like, honestly, I bet there are a bunch of people who were like,
I would be curious to know, like, what their criticisms are of it as a game. You know, like, I can criticize it from the standpoint of, like, it doesn't have the active, you know, the ATB system. It doesn't have turn-based this and that. And
yeah,
you know, it has voice acting now, which is what Final Fantasy didn't have at the time, and whatever. It's no more pre-rendered backgrounds and blah, blah, blah. Like, so
I think the one thing that Janet Garcia said was kind of like, oh, I can't really follow the story at all. Because I remember playing Final Fantasy VII on the PS1 and being like, what the fuck is all of this? And I don't know if that was the translation. I don't know if that was the fact that I was 8 years old. I don't know if that was the fact that, like, it just, the storytelling wasn't as sophisticated in video games back then as it used to be.
I think it's all of the above, because I honestly, like, I didn't even understand that, like, I think it was in the Triple Click podcast where they're explaining that, like, well, you know, Avalanche is fighting Shinra, but then they find out about Sephiroth and they go after Sephiroth because they see him as a bigger threat to the planet than Shinra. And I'm like, where did that even come? Like, I'm like, I didn't even understand that at all. I thought they were just fighting Sephiroth because he's a bad dude. Like,
yeah, no. That's the thing, is that, like, you know, the entire idea of Avalanche being eco-terrorists was not something that ever crossed my mind. It's all in there in the original text. Like, that is certainly a reading of that original game. But I never fully, like, there's no part of me that would have been like, this game's about global warming in 1997, right? Yeah. And it very much was about that, like, without a doubt. And so, like,
yeah, you know, the meteor is just the symbolism for the fucking ozone hole, you know?
1,000%. Yes. Yeah. So I feel like it's interesting having the original game as a comparison and all of the stuff that has come since then, and hearing people critically talk about the story and stuff like that, I can pull so much more out of something like Remake than I feel like people that are coming to it fresh.
It's like, but, oh, I get it now. CFCs are materia. The lifeblood of the planet.
Yes, exactly. The ozone layer is, I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah, no,
Mako is the ozone layer. Yeah,
yeah, no, exactly. No, Mako is the CVCs. Like, that's what the CVCs are. Mako, like, but no, anyways, or CFCs. That's not CVCs is something completely different. That's that CVC stands for cheap value cotton in the world of textiles. In case you were curious.
Okay.
But anyways, I What was I going to say? I do want to comment, like, some of the music is ridiculous in Remake. Yes.
1,000%.
And there are moments where shit's going down and it plays like this happy-go-lucky weird music and you're like, what the fuck is going on right now? Like, but the music's good. It's all really well done. I like collecting the songs everywhere I go. I think that's really cool. Like,
it's so much fun. Yeah. And I don't know if I literally like was, what was I doing? I was driving at some point this weekend somewhere and I immediately thought about Under the Rotting Pizza. Do you know that? Or Under the Rotting Pizza is the name of the song. Do you know that song?
I think I just picked that one up.
It's the one in the slums. It's the boo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yeah.
Boo-doo-doo-doo. And the Remake version of it is so good. They're both incredible, but there are some new versions of the songs that I really, really like, and there are other new versions that I'm kind of like, eh, that's kind of a miss for me. But it's still enough for me to like get that nostalgia hit that I really enjoy. So, and dude, I just want to hit up the fucking Golden Saucer so bad. Like, I really want to go on the Golden Saucer. I don't even know if the Golden Saucer, from what I've heard, I don't think the Golden Saucer's in this game. I don't know, but
I'm want pretty the Golden sure it Saucer. Is. But I wanted to, like, Cloud's cross-dressing moment in this one. Mm. Mm-hmm. Was one of the most ridiculous moments of video gaming I've ever experienced in my life. I didn't know what was like, how am I supposed to feel in this moment? Like, what is going on right now? I also like we had in our sidebar chat, like, that was the most terrible rhythm game I've ever experienced. Like, they could have done a little bit of a better job with that. The sweeping panning camera motions and shit really threw off the timing. Like,
yes,
that's the thing about rhythm games is, like, the whatever the trigger is for that particular, like, beat, you can't change the camera in the middle of that, because it throw, especially in three dimensions, throws off the sequencing and the cadence of the beat. So you have to, like, kind of, like, I was like, man, like, I don't want to fail this and have to do it 20 fucking times. Like,
well, it's the same as, like, the fucking, have you done the gym mini game?
I did the squats, and, like, that was easy, but I don't want to have to redo this.
Shit in the original game made no fucking sense. I could never do it right.
Yep. In the original game, I specifically remember having to redo that a million times.
Yes.
Like, and just being so aggravated. Like, why am I doing this wrong?
So that, like, honestly, like, somebody on Giant Bomb was basically just like, Final Fantasy VII, the original, threw all kinds of weird batshit minigames at you. It was in the Golden Saucer. It was elsewhere in the game. You're hiding and marching in, like, the Junin parade or whatever the fuck. Of that shit is just weird fucking minigames.
They threw rhythm minigames in. They threw racing games. Like, they threw Road Rash into the game. You got to ride a motorcycle and cut people down while riding it. Like, 100%. I mean, that's what made 7 such a big game, was that it literally encompassed all kinds of other games in this one game with an overarching story and mechanic, and they kind of blew it out of the water. It's like Square was like, well, we're entering this next generation of video game, and we better really, like, strut our stuff, you know? And then they did. Yeah. And it changed the fucking world, man. Like,
for sure. For sure.
But anyways, we could sit here and just rave about Final Fantasy VII to the end of time, probably.
Yes.
I don't know.
And we will, because I'm probably going to be playing Rebirth for another 4 years to get to the end of it, I assume. So
yeah, and then I'm going to finish Remake, start Rebirth, and then we'll probably have to do another spoiler cast with Webby and Gojo. I'm assuming they're both playing it.
Yeah, so. I saw Webby. I don't know if Gojo picked it up or not. But we'll have to talk about it. It'll be fun.
He's too busy building a metropolis in No Man's Sky.
He's been playing some Helldivers too. So
okay.
I was talking to Nick today, and there was one while we were waiting for, or you were putting Allie down, I think, last week. And it was just Alan and Fuzzy and I playing, I think.
Okay.
Is that who you joined up? I can't remember who all was playing. But the three of us were playing, and then Gojo joined us. And, like, we were talking on Discord, but Gojo isn't in that Discord. And like, I was going to send him a link or whatever, but I couldn't figure it out as I was like also putting in stratagems or whatever the fuck I was trying to do while we were playing. And he just like finished out the mission and then he left or whatever. And then I had talked to Nick today and Nick was like, yeah, Gojo was chatting with me when he popped in with you guys. And he was like, oh, I think I'm taking John's place right now. So he just hopped in to like finish out the mission with us. And then he left. And it was very funny. Nice. But yeah. Gojo is the journeyman mercenary, much like Cloud Strife. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Yeah, so I guess expect more Final Fantasy Rebirth next time. And the ending of my remake, hopefully I'll beat it by then.
Yeah, and only probably 20 minutes of Brian if we can even convince him to do that.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
Until we start recording episodes earlier in the day again.
Yeah. Although I don't even know if he would come back for that if we're talking Final Fantasy. So
probably not. It's Final Fantasy and Marvel Snap are his kryptonite.
Yes.
But yeah. Anyways, you can find all the places to listen to the show at MidwestGamers.com/links. The Midwest Podcast Network has a Patreon. Patreon supports all the shows on the network. You could subscribe for as little as $1 a month and help keep our shows alive and well. Check it out at mpn.bz/Patreon. Thanks to JSK, Tom Z, David O, and Corey Z for the contributions. One of the perks to joining the Patreon is to get early access to our bonus episodes that we call Side Quests. Side Quests are where we veer off outside the realm of video games into food, beverages, movies, TV, and more. Join our Patreon to get those episodes a week early. And as always, we do appreciate your feedback, which you can send to midwestgamenerds@gmail.com. Please send us your thoughts on Final Fantasy VII Rebirth Remake. Or the original, but specifically, if you haven't played the original, how do you feel about these new games? I want to know. Tell me about it. And then don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcatcher. And yeah, this side quest, we're going to talk about spiced Coca-Cola and Dune 2.
Sure. Yeah.
Or something like that. I'm going to rant about serving sizes again. probably not, actually. But that was a good one. I hope you enjoyed that.
Yes.
But anyways, we'll see you guys next time. Peace.